May my Lord bless you. May God bless you all. Brothers and sisters, newcomers, first-time guests that are joining us in this sermon, in these wonderful moments where we are learning about God and also reviewing the Acts, all of the events and occurrences that the first apostles lived when the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ first began. And we have marveled with this book of Acts of the Apostles. And so today, you may be seated. You may be seated. May God bless all of the brothers and sisters who are with me today. I also give you a warm greeting to all. And we have been reflecting upon this wonderful book of the Acts of the Apostles, seeing how the wonders of God manifested themselves at that time, and comparing it with our lives today that we live with the Lord, in these years that God has allowed me to live in the church, seeing that God is the same, that the way in which he manifested himself at that time, talking about over 2,000 years ago, in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that today as well, the Holy Spirit in the same way is manifesting himself among us. And God would like to manifest himself in an even deeper way, but our flesh sometimes does not allow it for God to come and dwell, or the Holy Spirit may manifest himself the way he wants to. But we are here in that fight. We are in that fight. Every day we persevere, fight, work, wanting to press on and to overlook difficulties, obstacles, difficult moments, bad days, but we fight to be able to attain that perfection that the Lord has promised, that perfection that perhaps the apostles, the first apostles, attained. Just as Paul said, I did everything, I finished my race, I no longer have anything to do, so I'm leaving this world. That is what God did at that time. That is why I say he perfected his apostles, his disciples, to all of those followers in the early church. Today, the Lord, in the same way, has promised us and is perfecting us. We must let our hearts be willing for God to perfect us, because that is what we want, to live a holy, righteous life before the Lord, pleasing God in everything, convert ourselves to God wholeheartedly. Like a question that I was asked. Someone asked me, what does the word conversion mean? When the Lord tells a person or the preacher teaches that we ought to convert to God, that we ought to convert to God. When the Holy Spirit in prophecy also says, we need to convert, you need to convert to me. And the person did not understand what that word conversion meant. Well, those were very basic examples, kindergarten examples, for kindergartners, those who are in their first year of starting school. A simple example of how to turn milk into cheese, or what they call whey or cheese. How do you turn milk into those two elements? So we spoke that this is what it was like a chemical, something, a probiotic perhaps is put on it. So with the milk, the liquid separates and what's left is something solid. And so we say it converted. Yes. This milk has converted. Now there is a very delicious cheese, or we also have the liquid, which is whey, which is no longer milk. And so we understand that as a conversion. And everyone who studies chemistry, for example, we need to convert many products and elements in one way or another, and science and technology does this, working on conversions. And with that simple example, I was explaining to the sister who asked me this question, or brother. And so I told them, we human beings, when God tells us to convert, or that we need to convert to God, it is because you are a man or a woman who is living a sinful life. Their soul has been corrupted, their spirit, corrupted by the sin they are committing. They are walking without God. And when they come to the knowledge of God, when God speaks to him, when the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to them, God reaches that person's heart, and they sometimes feel the desire to cry and they break down. And when we least expect it, in a month or 2 months, we see a completely different person. They said, I was evil. I was committing these sins. And now God has changed me, transformed me. I'm a different person. I don't do these things anymore. I no longer think this way. I control myself. And one would say, they have converted. They have converted to God. And the person continues their life this way. And they continue in the church. And as they listen to doctrine, they read the Bible, they pray, God continues speaking to them, and the person continues to transform and change until they reach a complete conversion for our God. I believe that you all have experienced this change in your spiritual life. You have experienced that you have converted, that you are converting. Some are still lacking. But that is what conversion is, to turn away from what is evil, to live a holy life, turning away from being evil to being good, merciful, and doing what is good. That is conversion. It is something very simple. So that person, I don't know if they were new, but they didn't understand what it meant to convert, but they said that constantly in the church, they hear that God says that they need to convert because they haven't converted to God. This is very simple, very easy, and we ought to prepare our hearts for this. Because God is power, God lives, and God speaks to us today. God speaks today. People say, yes, God speaks today through the Bible. Only. But no. God speaks to us always. He has always spoken to us through the Bible. But also the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And God speaks, that we may never forget, that through dreams or visions, God speaks to humans. Naturally, we learn from the Bible that there, in antiquity, there were people who had overly fantastic dreams or visions that were false, where the devil would deceive them, or would speak about things in their heart that existed, like false prophets. And in this age of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, when the Holy Spirit is among us, the devil or the enemy, he will probably put his deceitful and lying spirits to try to deceive those people who have not converted to God. For those who have not converted, it's dangerous that the evil spirit will deceive them. For those who have converted and dedicated their heart to God, then God will protect and keep them, and God will always be ready to help us. That is how we learn so many things from the Bible. We learn God's plan, God's work, but we also see the work of the enemy that comes against us. That is why it is necessary to learn doctrine, to distinguish good from evil, and to know the way that is wrong or upright. And this way, we are able to discern everything and not be deceived, but to press on this upright path that the Lord is paving for us. Therefore, the glory and the honors for our God, and we give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, and for him being so attentive to us in everything. We ought to love our God. And today, we are going to open our Bibles to Acts chapter 22. Once again, I am with you here with the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, from verse 1 to 30. I will be here once again. We are here to read and to see what happened with the Apostle Paul. We have already read the last few chapters about the Apostle Paul when he was persecuted there, preaching the gospel. And here in chapter 22, we see that the Apostle Paul traveled to Jerusalem to preach the gospel in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital of Judah. I say it was, we are talking about that time. Today, I think it's still the capital of Judah. And, well, it's a city, historic city, biblical, the city of Jerusalem. And the capital of Judah, and let us remember that God formed the people of Israel with 12 tribes, but among the 12 tribes, he chose one tribe to make his temple in, where God was going to manifest himself in. And that city was in Jerusalem, the preferred city of the Lord. And that is why there is where the Lord Jesus Christ was, preaching his word. And so the Apostle Paul, when he began to work in the preaching of the gospel, he also made the decision of traveling to Jerusalem to meet with the other apostles and at the same time evangelize and speak to people. And so in chapter 22, in verse 1, it says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia or Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today." So you see that the Apostle Paul here is giving his references about his intellectual preparation, because truly Paul was a very educated man with the best teachers of the time. He mentions Gamaliel, and he was taught in the law of Moses. He was very zealous toward the word of God. And he says, just as you all are zealous toward the word of God, and that is why you're persecuting me. That is why you're persecuting me. But later on, I am going to speak to you and explain this. And in verse 4, it says, "I persecuted this way," in other words, the way of the gospel. Paul is narrating his testimony in what way he converted to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished." That is what Paul would do. Persecuting all of the believers and the preachers, the apostles, that the Lord Jesus had sent to preach the gospel. And Paul said that he was there as that persecutor. He begins to narrate this way his testimony. And in verse 6 he says, "Now it happened, as I journeyed," in other words, after being the persecutor, he would take men and women to prison, he was the one who would hand them in so that they all may be punished. He says, "Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, At about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Glory be to God, praise be to the Lord, for this wondrous miracle.'" This is a wondrous miracle. Paul, or Saul, who was called at the time, on his horse, he went to persecute Christians, to harm the disciples of the Lord. And he says that it was around noontime when that light of heaven surrounds him and he falls to the ground. And he says, "Who are you?" And he heard the voice that says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Of course, Paul was astonished and worried. He was startled because he says, "That voice, where is it coming from? Who is speaking to me? What is happening? What is going on? Why do I hear that voice that is saying, 'Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" The voice did not say, "Saul, why are you persecuting the believers, the Christians, the disciples? Why are you persecuting them?" No, he said, "You are persecuting me. Because the Lord said, whoever is against you, who is going to harm you, they're not harming you, but me." That is what the Lord has said in many parts of the Bible, that every evil that is done against his children for preaching his word, that evil doesn't go to the child of God, but to God himself. People are against the Lord. And that is why he said, "Do not persecute me," or "Why are you persecuting me?" And that is when he asks, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." Paul, or Saul, had heard that the Lord Jesus had ascended to heaven and that they were there preaching, his apostles, his disciples, preached the gospel. But the Lord said, "I am here. I am the one who's here, the one who's speaking to you." And he says in verse 9, "And those who were with me," this is Paul's or Saul's account, "and those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus." In other words, he became blind immediately. Verse 12, "Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, 'The God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, they were the fathers of all the Israelites, or of all the people of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.'" And it says here, "Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth.'" What marvel! We cannot doubt these wondrous experiences that Paul lived. We cannot doubt. Why can't we doubt? Because today, God has proved with many signs, hundreds and hundreds of times, that he exists, that he lives, and that he manifests himself in those who follow him wholeheartedly. In verse 15, he says, "For you will be his witness," the Lord says through this prophet Ananias. He says, "For you will be his witness." In other words, the witness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the witness of the gospel, to all men, he was no longer going to be a witness to the law of Moses, but of the gospel of Christ. You will be a witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He ordered him to be water baptized and to repent, to confess his sins, and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Paul needed to do this in order to show everyone and the witnesses that were with him that day, in that occasion, to show them that he had believed in the Lord. He had converted to the Lord Jesus Christ because he had accepted from that moment on that he was no longer going to be preaching the law of Moses or defending it, but that he would be preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And Paul says here, in his account of conversion, he says in verse 17, "Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me," in other words, he saw the Lord. He said, "Make haste." In other words, a vision. When he says that he was in a trance and he had a vision, and in that moment he saw the Lord and the Lord spoke to him, he said, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me." The Lord knew that the inhabitants of Jerusalem were people with hardened hearts, unbelievers. They did not accept the gospel. They did not accept the word of the Lord Jesus Christ when he preached to them. But instead, they gave him to the evildoers so that they could kill the Lord. The Lord Jesus saw there the danger that Paul should not be in Jerusalem, because the Lord already knew how the inhabitants were like: hard-hearted, unbelieving, rebellious, foolish, perhaps. And here he orders him to leave Jerusalem. But before continuing reading these verses, I am going to read a little about what the Lord Jesus thought about Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel. Here in Luke 13:22, without losing Acts 22. Here in Luke 13:22, the Lord Jesus, among the other things that he was preaching there at that time, preaching to the people, preaching and teaching his disciples by his side, listening. And it says, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, 'Lord, are there few who are saved?' And he said to them, 'Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able.' When once the master of the house," so he gave an example, "when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door of his house, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you, where you are from,' the door is closed." And he says in verse 26, "Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.'" Here the Lord was giving an example that they needed to make an effort to enter through the narrow gate. And the narrow gate was to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And when he mentions the Master, he was giving an example that our God, that when he closes the gates, when the person wants to enter, it will be too late, because God gave them the opportunity for salvation. He spoke to them, made promises, gave them the Holy Spirit and gifts, and the person didn't want to. Once they do want to, it'll be too late. And he says, let's not wait for this, but let's be constant and faithful in God's path, and let us press on. That is what verse 25 implies. And that is why he says that you may not call, Lord, Lord, open, because we were with you. We ate and drank with you. Others may say, Lord, if you gave us the spiritual gifts, I prophesied in the church. There may be people that say, well, I prophesied in the church, and even for first-time guests, because they think that prophesying for first-time guests is a very high rank or category, but it's not. All of the gifts are the same. The only thing is that to prophesy for first-time guests are people who are mature with doctrine so that they are able to advise the person who has come for the first time and prophesy to them and explain and teach them. So that is why it's done this way. But all of the gifts are given by God however he wants. But here, people are going to say this to the Lord. We were with you. You gave us the gifts. We worked for you. I laid hands. There were healings. Lord, open the door. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Why? Because when they heard the word, when they were partaking of the word of the path of the Lord, they did not want to be faithful and being constant. Instead, they turned back and they continued to live their lives in the world because people get tired. People think that it's very tiring to follow the path of God when they have been in the church for 5, 10, or 15 years and they leave the church when they're 20 years in, but they do not persevere. We need to continue in God's path so that God may not close the door on us saying, I do not know you. And so in this way, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the people, teaching them, teaching the inhabitants of Israel and his disciples. And that is why in verse 28, he says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will be looked down on when God doesn't open the gates. And it says, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. He said this to the unbelievers at that time, which were the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He says, they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. Glory to God that this verse 29 is the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ made, saying that they would come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, on the earth. The Lord was not speaking of an exclusive people, but now he is talking about people from around the world, from the east, from the west, from the north and south, that believe in the Lord, that convert to God and accept the Lord. They will be in the kingdom with the Lord, and they will be enjoying with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Blessed and praised is the name of the Lord. So here the Lord is giving this explanation, saying, how hard-hearted are these inhabitants of Jerusalem? They do not want to accept, and they did not want to. And in verse 30, and indeed there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last, he said. So the Lord here, if we go to verse 34, or better yet, I will read 31 quickly. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Herod was the king. He was ruling at that time there in Jerusalem in Judea. And he says, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go tell that fox. I cast out demons. In other words, the Lord addressed King Herod as a fox. And he said, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures or work miracles and healings. Today and tomorrow, and the third day, I shall be perfected. The Lord saying here, I am going to die, but on the third day I will resurrect. And that is why he said, I will do all the miracles today, tomorrow, and on the third day I shall finish the work. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. And here in verse 34, what the Lord says to Jerusalem, which is what the Lord meant when he told Paul, leave Jerusalem, do not stay here, because the Lord knew how hard-hearted, how unbelieving they were, and what they were capable of doing to the apostle. So the Lord Jesus says in verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. In other words, from then on, they would live without the manifestation of God. Because God had manifested himself in antiquity with the people, he had manifested himself with his prophets, and he sent them messages. And the Lord would work wonders and miracles at that time. But from here on, the Lord says, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is what the Lord said to Jerusalem, because they were unbelieving, and they were the ones that our God had sent the Lord Jesus Christ to preach to that people, to the people of Israel in that territory of Judea. And that is why the Lord said that he came to preach to the sheep of Israel, but they did not listen. They did not want to hear the word of the Lord. And so here we go back to Acts chapter 22 from verse 18, when Paul says that he saw the Lord and the Lord said, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me, those in Jerusalem. They did not even accept the Lord himself. Much less were they going to accept Paul. And in verse 19, Paul said, so I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, let's remember that we were reading about the story of Stephen who was stoned. And he saw a vision, and he saw the Lord sitting at his throne, and many angels that ascended and descended. And it says that he was stoned, but he died seeing the Lord, and we are sure that he didn't even feel pain. Because of seeing the glory of God, everything was removed. Because of the beauty that he was looking at God and his glory. And so Paul said that he was a witness that day. That day when they stoned Stephen. And he said, and when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. What do you think about that? How sad and how worrisome as well for Paul. That occurrence or that event. Or that act that he there acknowledged and he told the Lord. It seems as though he was saying, Lord, I am not worthy. I am not worthy for you to show yourself to me, to present yourself to me, because I was evil. Look at everything I did. And he begins to narrate to him his sins, his mistakes. He begins to remember everything that he did so that God could change his mind. Paul thought that maybe the Lord had forgotten, he overlooked these acts. And he tells the Lord, look at what I am, look at what I did. And so he says that in the midst of confessing his sins, because there he was confessing his sins, like when the Lord, when in verse 16, when the prophet says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Be water baptized. Wash away your sins. Call on the name of the Lord. Call and acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior, is the one sent by God. He is the Prince of Peace. The promised one that is in the books of the prophets in antiquity when God said that he would be sending a perfect priest, sending a shepherd, a divine shepherd, sending a prophet, sending a savior. And they needed to follow him. They needed to believe in him. They needed to honor and worship him. Therefore, the Lord here in this moment, he was teaching Paul what he needed to do to humble himself so that this conversion truly was complete. And so the Lord wanted and allowed for Saul to have these behaviors of being the persecutor of Christians because the Lord had a job, a ministry for him. And at the same time, the Lord was going to allow for Paul to suffer many tribulations, many persecutions, many difficulties in his life. And that is how he accepted him, because he converted. And since he converted, he acknowledged and confessed his sins. And the Lord says to him in verse 21, "Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Leave Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem, they are not going to believe you. In Jerusalem, they're going to try to take your life. But leave, because I'm going to send you far to the Gentiles." The Gentiles were the ones that the Lord said, from the east and west, from the north and south, he would be gathering his people for salvation, to gather them together and bring them to the kingdom of heaven. There the Lord was making that wondrous promise. That is why we today, who consider ourselves to be Gentiles in a way, we feel very proud and happy with our God, because he has humbled himself by choosing us, by looking upon us, by choosing us or giving us a calling. And we give thanks to our Lord for that calling that he has given us and those wonderful promises as well that he has for each one of us. Promises that we ought to keep in mind, and we must press on and be grateful and value our God. And here in verse 22, it says, "And they listened to him until this word." So everyone who was there listening, since they were the persecutors that wanted to harm Paul, it says that after he told his testimony about how he converted, then it says, "And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he's not fit to live.'" Exactly what the Lord said. You cannot be in Jerusalem, because there, they are not going to believe you. Instead, they're going to want to take your life. And that is why he said, "Leave Jerusalem." And those are the words that the Lord spoke about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, who kills the prophets, that was the truth. And the Lord said, "You will be empty, desolate. God will not be with you. God will not manifest himself. He will no longer manifest himself among you." And the Lord, I am sure that it has been so, that the Lord is not going to manifest himself, because in order for God to manifest himself, he needs to give his Holy Spirit and give them gifts and powers and abilities to each believer, man or woman, and support them. It's not just for them saying, "You are a prophet and that's it." "No, I'm a prophet." Or the titles that human beings give other human beings in congregations, and they give them the title of a prophet. "You are a prophet and you're an apostle." But they don't have God's support. And they're a prophet, but they have no proof as a prophet. Or they say, "You're an apostle," but they also do not have that proof of being an apostle, because that has to be shown with the power that God gives the person to work wonders and miracles, healings, that God may use that person to speak and that everything they speak may be fulfilled. And if they pray over someone who is sick, that they may be healed. If they are going to ask for a miracle, that the miracle may be worked. That God is going to support his church and he will support it. Just as when he said, he told four people, from these four people or from this small fold, I will make a big church in Colombia and around the world. And we see it as so. Glory be to God. So what does that mean? That means that God put apostles, prophets in his place, and he is supporting them because they are fulfilling his word. Meanwhile, in different congregations, as I was saying before, when they give titles, when a human gives another human a title, you don't see any sign or power. There is no support. That is not from God. The person can make believe and say, they appointed me as a prophet. Now I'm a prophet. No, but they don't have anything from God. So God is not going to support them. If they pray, God doesn't listen to them. If they ask for something, God isn't going to reply. He does not fulfill it. He does not give it to them. That is what happens. So that is what has happened, what has always occurred, which is that it's God who needs to give all of these things. And that is why the Lord Jesus told Jerusalem that since they killed the prophets, the day will come where they will be without God, without support, without the manifestation of God. Because the manifestations of God meant he had his prophets and he would send words of comfort. There were miracles and signs among the people, with people. God would manifest himself, and God turned away from all of this. And that is where the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ was fulfilled, saying, your house will be desolate and you will not partake of the kingdom of heaven. We partake when we live the experiences of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, when we feel him and we pray and when we prophesy or speak in tongues or we see visions, then we say, this is a heaven. God is here. God is here with us. That is what you feel, the glory of God. You feel that the kingdom of heaven is close, near us. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Here, then, it says, in verse 23, they said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then, as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, everything they did. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him, in other words, there were people who were defending Paul, but instead there was an uproar in that place. It says, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. So they were fearful of the Romans. Let us remember that the Roman Empire was the one ruling the world. We can say that they ruled the world. And they ruled also the people of Israel. And so here it says that they were worried because they said, this is a Roman citizen. It says, then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? Paul said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum, I obtained this citizenship. So the commander said that he obtained the Roman citizenship with a large sum of money. And he's trying to say, and you? Are you really a Roman? You who are no one, I'm a commander and you're no one. You are a nobody and you have a Roman citizenship? So there he was envious. This commander was envious. And so the commander says, with a large sum, I obtained this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. You see? So God gave him the cunningness, the shrewdness to give him an answer. You obtained the citizenship with money, but I was born here. I was born a Roman citizen. And so God helped Paul in that moment. with these people because they were about to take him prisoner. And verse 29 says, then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander, who also afraid after he found out. So here we see how God protected Paul. God protected Paul because he said, leave Jerusalem. It's not good for you to be here in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you away to the Gentiles. And so here, the commander, when he finds out that he was a Roman citizen, he was fearful for having bound him, for having bound him. And it says here, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And the story continues for the next sermon. So do not miss the next sermon because it's the continuation of the acts, experiences, occurrences, testimonies, and conversion of Paul. And where we see how God also is with us and blesses us today, and we cannot envy them or want so much or say, the Lord manifested at that time, and today he doesn't manifest himself. The Lord manifests himself the same today, and the devil, the enemy, persecutes us as well. He persecutes us just as that time. We give thanks that today, because of the laws and governments, they have progressed, and I'm not sure how else to say it, but progressed, or there has been many changes worldwide in regards to God has entered in people's consciousness, and they have created laws where religion is protected, where people's beliefs are protected. Many beautiful things God has allowed in the midst of humankind so that it is respected as well, so that there may be a freedom of religion, that there may be a freedom of worship, and there could be that freedom in the congregation of the Lord, because the Lord Jesus Christ said that his church would be great and perfect, and his church would prevail till the day that the Lord comes. And so the Lord needs to do something with the government, with people's mindsets, so that the church of the Lord may press on. And there are people who speculate and say, religions will end, that will be finished, that will be destroyed, but that won't be so, because the Lord Jesus said that his church would continue, and the gates of Hades, in other words, the enemy, the devil, would not be able to go against the church of the Lord. And just as in this time that we are reading about over 2,000 years ago, the story of the first apostles, today we testify that the Lord is manifesting himself. The Holy Spirit manifests himself among us. Therefore, the church continues here, and it will continue forever. And the Lord will support, and the Lord will bless his preachers, his evangelists, his apostles, prophets, when he sends them throughout the world, so that this gospel may be preached to all the world. The Lord said it, and it will be so, because it's the word of God, and the word of God is steadfast. The word of the Lord is everlasting and is steadfast, and his promises are faithful. They are true, so we are not going to doubt. The word of the Lord will continue, and so all the other religions will be covered by the blessings that God gives us, where no one will be able to forbid us from preaching the word of the Lord. So the other religions will support themselves on us, and they will also be able to preach, because the law is for everyone, right? The law is for everyone, but either way, the Lord is for one church, one people, for one heart, or yes, one heart, which is the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord. That is the church of the Lord, the hearts of those who follow him. I invite you all to read the Bible. I invite you to congregate in the churches. People who do not congregate, for the people who are casual attendees and only like to listen through the internet, It is good for you to watch this sermon, but I also invite you to congregate so that they can give you prophecy and that you may receive laying on of hands, that you may receive peace, security, happiness, that you may receive blessings, that God may speak to you and bless you, and that you may know in a deeper way this glorious manifestation of our Lord. Therefore, the invitation is to all of you, press on reading the Bible, and now we are going to be praying to our God, and we are going to give thanks to our God, and we are also going to ask the Lord for our needs, our petitions, our wishes in our heart, and also to ask the Lord to heal the people who are sick. There are many people who are in hospitals, at homes, on their bed, people who are in a vegetative state, people who are sick with evil spirits, witchcraft and sorcery and curses, people who do not have reasoning or sanity. They are helpless because they are sick mentally. And so we are going to be praying for all of them. All of you who suffer from any illness, from any difficulty or problem, present it before the Lord in this moment with your words and believe and trust that God is with us, listening to us, watching us, and He is going to bless each one of you. Holy Father, everlasting God, our God, creator of the heavens and earth, mighty God, omnipotent, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, our mighty God, you manifested yourself greatly in antiquity. And today you also manifest yourself in the midst of us. You have made us wonderful promises. You have a plan for each and every one of us, Lord. To each person, you have given us a duty, a job to fulfill. Blessed God, you comfort us, because the Holy Spirit is the comforter, and you give us peace, happiness, and joy. Therefore, Lord, we know that your mercy is great. Your mercy endures forever. And in this moment, we present ourselves before you to give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for our food, for our clothing, for our living space. Thank you for our job and for everything, all of those moments of pleasure that you give us and you allow us to enjoy in life, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings. Holy Father, thank you, Lord. You are the giver of life, the giver of all of the blessings. You are our creator, our owner, our Father. You are our divine shepherd. Lord, break chains. Break spiritual bonds, ties, remove wicked works. Deliver, Lord, all of those who are being slaves and prisoners of the wicked one. Cleanse each life, cleanse each heart. Remove from many people's mindsets so many sinful things, unclean things that the devil places in people's thoughts. Lord, that it may be you cleansing and delivering, removing all evil. Look upon your followers, your church worldwide, all of those who congregate in different places, nations, towns, and cities that congregate, small groups, big groups, and they cry out to you, they seek you, all of those who are joyful when they sing the hymns and choruses, Lord. All of those, look upon them. With mercy and love, bless each one with the spiritual blessings, with material blessings, Lord. Listen to their prayers. Look at the affliction of those who are sick, of all of those who have different illnesses. Deliver them, cleanse each one, Lord. Heal and remove illnesses, pain. Look at this cancer, Lord. Look at the pain that is produced. Your children cry out to you, my Father. Your children, those who are sick. Lord, help, because the devil wants to destroy and steal peace, harmony, happiness, and joy. Remove pain, Holy Father. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, blessed and praised is your name. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for listening to us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your love, for your word. Blessed is the Lord. Powerful are you, Lord. The honor and the glory is for you, my Lord, from now and forevermore. Amen. Glory be to the Lord. Glory to the Almighty. Blessed is the King.
El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. Y su gozo sin medida Él te da. Si tienes ese gozo puedes tú cantar. Si tienes ese gozo puedes tú danzar. Si tienes ese gozo puedes tú gritar. Y su gozo sin medida Él te da. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. El gozo del Señor mi fortaleza es. Y su gozo sin medida Él me da. Si tienes ese gozo puedes tú cantar. Si tienes ese gozo puedes tú danzar. Si tienes ese gozo puedes tú gritar. Y su gozo sin medida Él te da.
Blessed is the name of the Lord. Thanks be to our God. Thank you very much, my beloved brothers and sisters. Thank you all. A very big hug for you all. And the kiss for the children. And may the Lord bless you all greatly. May God be with you all. Thank you.